Today there's Baruch Hashem, there's refreshments for anybody who came to learn. And the refreshments are for my grandfather's yard site, Hachaver Ephraim Ben Moshe Yehuda, whose 12th yard site is today. 12 years is a relatively long time, but it feels like it was yesterday. And my grandfather was a very special person. He was certainly somebody who was Kovei Itim LaTorah, and who was active in many shuls that he was involved in, and certainly somebody that I gain and learn from on a daily basis, even today, 12 years after his passing. So this week's Parshas Truma, of course, discussing the Mishkan, and I saw this morning on Leino Shabbat that you know that there are two vessels, the two items in the Mishkan that represent Torah, and one is the Aron and one is the Menorah. And Rabbi Yashiv would say that the two symbols of Torah in the Mishkan, the Aron, which is in the Kodesh Kodashim, and the Menorah, which brought light to the entire area that can be seen all over Yerushalayim, so represent two attributes, two aspects of every Talmud Chacham. And we know that the Aron was inside the Kodesh Kodashim, you couldn't go inside. So that represents the idea that Talmud Chacham has to be modest, and is to be in seclusion, to be isolated. And certainly, Rabbi Yosef Zatzal certainly represented that midah, right? It was famous that he used to sit in a shul, and nobody would bother him, and obviously he would learn at home as well. And bitznius, that's the idea of being modest, not going around and telling people how much a person knows, and not necessarily going around and wasting time, but rather staying home and in a modest fashion in secrecy. On the other hand, you also have the menorah that you have to bring light. You have to bring light to other people, and Talmud Chacham has to have both elements. He has to have this element of tznius and privacy and secrecy, but also he has to be able to go out to the world and give that Torah to the world. So says Rabbi Yashiv. And Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky said over some stories about the Stipler, so I'll just tell you two quick stories about the Stipler. One is, I think it's a little bit comical, but he says that when he was in Novardik, so the Stipler was already an Avreich, which means he was married, but it sounds like he was still very close to the Rosh Yeshiva of Novardik. He used to spend time there, and Rav Yaakov Galinsky was a present at a meal in the Rosh Yeshiva's house, and the Rebbetzin was pointing out to the Bachram, you should be like the Stipler. And she pointed out to the Stipler, who was off to the side, totally engrossed in learning. That was his thing. He was totally focused in learning, off to the side. And she said to the Bachram, watch this. And she said to the Stipler, you know, how come you didn't come to, we had a son last week, how come you didn't come to the bris? And he just like looked up and had no answer and looked back down at his sefer. And then she turned to the Bachram and says, you know why he didn't come to the bris? Because we had a daughter, we didn't have a son, we had a daughter last week. But he doesn't know the difference. He's so engrossed in his learning, he's so focused on his learning, he doesn't know what's flying. In Leshvach. So you see from here, of course, obviously the Stipler, we know where the Stipler became. We're not telling you you should become the Stipler. But on the other hand, there should be an element of focus in your learning, especially now with the workout, with the increase of Hasmada over here. A person should be focused on his learning. I once heard from somebody that a person should learn 60 seconds of every minute. How often do we learn 60 seconds of every minute? Whether it's shmoozing with the chavrusa, whether it's talking about other things, whether it's distractions. A person has to try to stay focused. And that's this idea of being more internal. That's really the symbol of the Aron. But on the other hand, you also have to have the menorah. And the other story that Yaakov Galinsky said over, which is famous, but maybe some of you have not heard this before, but Yaakov Galinsky, when he was a bacher, Yaakov Galinsky Zatzal, who I discuss of seeing, I'm sure some of you know his svarim, he's a mashgiach, and in Bnei Brak. So he needed chizik for something. So he went to the mashgiach of Novardik, and he told him, I need some chizik. He said, go to the shul, and you should go to the shul, and you should go to the Ezra's Nashim. So I think that was the idea. And he went to the Ezra's Nashim, and he heard a bacher, maybe he was a bacher, I'm not sure if he was a bacher at the time, or Avreich. He was saying over the following Gemara. The Gemara is in. Where's the Gemara? The Gemara is in. I forgot where it doesn't quote where the Gemara is, but the famous Gemara of Chatufa Achil. Right? Hai Amma Kibehi Lulu Damya. This world is like a wedding. Right? this world is like a wedding. So he heard this person saying over this Gemara for an hour. He says for an hour straight he was talking over this Gemara. And then what's the pshat in the Gemara? He explains that our Chachamim tell us that this world is like a chasana, right? And when a person comes to a chasana, right? He's like the melech. And if you come, oh, wait a minute. Let me just read it to you inside. Okay, kasher b'chol yom yesh chasan acher hanechshav lemelech. Every single day there's a new king. What do you mean there's a new king? Every single day there's a new chasan, and the chasan is domo lemelech. V'ha'yo im yovo ha'chasan shalemesh. If last night's chasan comes to the chasana, right? Yivakish me'ameltzim shiryasu es mevukasho gam mocher. If the chasan comes and says, "Okay, I want you to treat me like a chasan tomorrow," what are you going to say to him? V'ulay af yoshivu oso al kas chasan. Even if they put him where this chosin sits, kasher chosin acher tovas kvaras akisis. Someone else is going to grab it. Her yisal goes from we call madrigos. Basically, the next night, the same chosin comes and says, "I want to be the chosin." They throw him out. You have to take advantage of the night of your chasana. That's when you're the melech. You're the chosin. You call the shots at the chasana hall. So he said, "That's what this world is like. We're the chosin for however long we're given this life, and we have to take advantage of that opportunity. Tomorrow, we're no longer going to be the chosin." So the point is that the chizuk that the stipler gave to Yaakov Galinsky and to himself, he was talking to himself, the stipler. Okay, I'm sorry. And then the stipler explained it to himself. Let me read it to you what the stipler said to himself. As he was singing, right? Hi, Amal Kibehi Lulodamya, Shakavar Lebarsh Lefne Ulamasmachos, right? It's like this smorgasbord by the chasana. Shom Ein Meltzarim, there are no waiters. Every single person has to fend for himself. That's what it's like. If you don't grab some food at the smorgasbord, nothing will be left. That's how life is about mitzvahs. If you don't grab in this world, you're going to have nothing. You're going to have empty hands. You're going to leave empty handed. So the story obviously is not related to the Yisod of the Rav Yashar, but the story is a very powerful story that many people have heard before. If you haven't heard it, it's kedai to listen. But the Gemara tells us this world is like a chasana. You got to grab and grab and grab. Certainly, with this program, with the initiative of the workout, you have to grab every minute. And that was enough chizik for Rav Yaakov Galinsky from the stipler. That's number one. Number two, that many people say that I've heard a few shiurim this past week about the fact that the rods for the aron always had to stay in. Even if the aron was stable, they left the rods in. And the chinuch tells us what's the pshat. The pshat is that if they would be in a rush and a hurry and they wouldn't put the rods in properly, there's a chashash that the aron would fall, and that's why the rods had to stay in the aron at all times. That's what the chinuch tells us. And furthermore, there's also the idea that the tzura, the form of the aron, has to be, you know, always has to look the same. Meaning the menorah had its form, and that was its form, right? The shulchan had its form. So the point, the aron, its form was with the rods inside. Why? The idea that that's the demus, that's the look of the aron with the rods inside. And the Musar Haskel, of course, is that the Torah always has to look the same. A Ben Torah always has to look the same. Whether you're stable, whether you're camping out, whether the Jewish people are camped in encampment, or they're traveling, they always have to have the same look. So he tells a very beautiful story about that was told over from Shmuel Rosengarten. That there's a Bachur that was in Rav Moshe Feinstein's yeshiva. It was called MTJ. And before Ben Ezmanim, he asked him for advice. What should his advice be? So Rav Moshe told him the following idea, which is, I think, a beautiful idea. It certainly adds sensitivity to something that we may encounter in the future. And that is as follows. He said, when you go home, you're going to go to the Mincha Maariv in your local shul. And what's going to happen? The Rav is going to get up. He's going to give a Mishnayos shiur. You hold your Talmud Chacham. You hold that you should go ahead and you should go grab a Gemara and learn on the side, because you're on a higher level than everybody else there. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein to this Bachur, I want you to know what you're doing is, if you do that, it's very wrong. Why? Because what are people going to see? People are going to say, oh, the shiur is not for him. The shiur is not chashuv. So they're going to say, we also don't want to go to the Baal Batum will say, we also don't want to go to the Mishnah shiur. And they'll go, they'll try to learn a Gemara, but they can't learn Gemara. They're not choosing. So when you go, you're going to go ahead, you're going to think you're doing something great by going to take your Gemara and learn on the side because you're on a higher level. But you could come to be mezalzel this year, and it could cause tremendous bittul Torah, and it can cause people to leave this year. So you see from Rav Moshe Feinstein a tremendous yisod in sensitivity. And Rav Zilberstein writes, he knows a Talmud Chacham, a massive Talmud Chacham, who davened in a certain shul, where they have a regular Mishnah Shir, and he sits there like everybody else with Mishnah Shir. But I think one of the lessons you see very clearly is to be thought out, to understand the ramifications of our actions. We can go ahead and we can think we're doing something right, but if we don't think it through properly, we could go ahead and we could do damage with something, even with doing something that we thought was a good idea. So let's just try to put everything all together. The yisod of the Aron and the Menorah is Torah. And Torah, we see from here, you have to be thought out at all times. It can't be without deep thought. And what that means is that when a person goes ahead and interacts with people, you're representing B'nai Torah. You're representing B'nai Torah, and you can't do anything that could be detrimental to the tzibur in the community. The other thing I wanted to mention was that very interesting horror that I saw. It says you should make the kruvim. We know that the kruvim, Rashi tells us, we're done to the tinokos, right? And the Mechilta tells us a very interesting halacha. I never heard this halacha before. Maybe some of you have. But the Mechilta tells us that if you don't have gold, so for every other vessel in the Mishkan, you can get away with other forms of metal. There's only one vessel, there's only one thing that needs that gold, needs to be used for gold no matter what, and that's the kruvim. So Rav Meir Shapiro asks, what's the pshat? Why is it that the kruvim is the only item that can't use anything else but gold? Everything else you can substitute if you don't have a choice. So Rav Meir Shapiro says, because since the kruvim represent chinuch, represent the kids, when it comes to being mechanech children, when it comes to the foundation of children, there's no substitutes. It's got to be pure gold. It can't be something else. And I think that this is a tremendous lesson to us. What are we doing now? Of course, obviously, we're not raising our children yet at this point, most of us that are listening. But if you are, there's no substitutes in chinuch. But also, there's no substitutes in training yourself. Chinuch means to dedicate yourself, to train yourself, to develop your foundation. So as we take advantage of these years, now that we're here in yeshiva, that we need to go ahead and we need to build ourselves up. We, statistically speaking, most people in this room will end up going out to work. They won't be in yeshiva full time. But you have to take advantage of these years when you're in yeshiva. You have to take advantage. There's no substitute. There's no substitute. Just like by the kruvim, which represents the chinuch and the children, there is no substitute for the gold. So too, there's no substitute for these years. These years are the most important years of your life. And then you can be zocha to move on with the aron. And if you have the rods always in, you always say that you always remain that ben Torah. You may be traveling, you may be on the road, you may be leaving the yeshiva. But if you leave the rods in and you always maintain, stick with the foundations that you have, then you'll be successful. And the same idea, and the limit of Torah that you do, I often say this, is that oftentimes we learn because we have to learn, we have a Seder. But once in a while, we should do what Rabbi Yoshua was talking about the Aron. We should learn in private, not for any other reason besides totally Lishma. Learn something, make sure you learn something totally Lishma for Kavod Shemayim and for the sake of Hashem. I just want to, just now that I touched on this topic about leaving yeshiva, which you're not leaving yeshiva anytime soon, but I wanted to hear a quote that I heard recently that I hope will have an influence on the people that are listening, that maybe not in yeshiva anymore, and also on you guys, that I heard on a great shmooze. I think everybody should listen to it, even at this stage in your life. I heard recently from a friend of mine, this year, from David Nakash. He's a balabas who actually promotes the Harevna program of Chazara for Balabatim. Some of you may know about it. Rabbi Schneider happens to be one of the Rosh Chabura in Ramat Beit Shemesh of this program, and he said the following yisod, and I think it's important to say it over because it makes a roshim. He had to go out to work. I guess he was learning at some point, and he had to go out to work. And his Rav told him, when you work, work like a balabas. When you go to learn, learn like a yeshiva bocher. No matter where you are in life, even if you leave the yeshiva, you still should learn like a yeshiva bocher. Now, I guess the lesson to you guys is, now you're yeshiva bocher. So you have to learn like a yeshiva bocher, not learn like a balabas, which is very, very important. Don't be satisfied with learning things superficially. Delve into the iyun. chazer as much as you can. And again, the yisod is take advantage of these years and build a foundation. And when you do build the foundation properly, your own Aron Kodesh, and then Yitzhak Shem, the rods will always stay in. You'll be able to carry with you everything you've gained in yeshiva. Yitzhak Shem. Have a good job.